Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. We're on segment number 3. Let's head to the courtroom.
Call your next witness.
We're on the state calls, Dr. Reamer.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony that you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Can you have a seat on the witness stand?
You will state your full name again, please, and spell your last name for the record.
Yes. It's Dr. Ellen Reamer, R-I-E-M-E-R.
And just to advise the gallery, if everybody could seal the monitors, please. And the media be advised of that. Dr. Reamer, I want to move through this.
Yes.
And Dr. Reamer, I don't know if I'm necessarily even going to put them up on the screen. I am going to show you some images. I know the jury have seen these, and I don't want to belabor the point, and I want to move quickly. But just very quickly, you've been previously qualified as an expert in this trial in forensic pathology. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you've done how many autopsies? Remind the jury, please.
Around 5,500. Since I was last here, I've done a few more.
You actually conducted the autopsies of Paul and Maggie in this case?
Yes, I did both of the autopsies at the request of the Colleton County coroner, who called MUSC Forensic Pathology, requesting autopsies on 2 individuals that died under his jurisdiction. I was not asked by the prosecution to perform an autopsy. It was an independent autopsy.
Your autopsy is independent. You're not hired by the prosecution or law enforcement or anything like that?
No, it's just at the request of the coroner.
All right. You've had a chance to hear the testimony of the pathologist for the defense that testified yesterday?
Yes.
All right. I want to ask you a couple of general questions and then move specifically to some of the conclusions that that individual reached. But just very quickly, with skin tags, can you tell me the reliability of that in determining directionality just as a general matter?
Yeah, well, you know, we look at these things, but just like every other thing at, you know, finding at the autopsy, we take it in the context. So sometimes skin tags support your findings, and sometimes they're not really so reliable. So, you know, skin tags don't tell you necessarily the direction of a wound, especially going through very soft tissue.
All right. And I'm going to show you a couple of exhibits that have been previously introduced in this particular case. I'm going to try to be very careful with these. To show you what's been marked as exhibits, defense exhibits 159, 160, and 161. And if you could take those out and just tell me if you recognize those. And again, please be mindful of the direction in which those images are presented.
Yes, I've seen these.
All right. And what are those images of?
They're autopsy photographs of Maggie.
All right. You heard the testimony of the defense pathologist who testified yesterday that the directionality of the injury to the side of Maggie's head with the associated injury to the breast and the abrasion actually was coming from the top down as opposed, and I say top down as if somebody's standing upright, as opposed from going towards the bottom of the body up, correct?
Yes, that's
all
right.
And can you please look at the images that you have and explain to the jury your conclusions and why that defense pathologist is incorrect, who didn't conduct the autopsy to begin with, why he's incorrect.
Okay. Do you want me to show the photos?
You can, and let's just go ahead and put them up on the screen. So I'll take them. And if you could step down, please, if that's okay with your arm. And first, I'm going to show Defense Exhibit 160. Are we secure? We're good? All right. All right, and that's Defense 160. And Dr. Reamer, if you can again explain to me your specific findings and how they relate to the testimony from yesterday.
Yes. So we have the abrasion on the left shoulder, clavicle area, and then we have an entrance defect in this left side of the face. We can see a hole there. It's a hole. And there was a defect in the left temporal lobe of the brain, which was included in my autopsy report, that could only have happened from that being an entrance wound.
Okay. And you mentioned during your testimony the concept of a diastatic fracture. Does that in any way relate to your conclusion in this regard?
Yeah, well, a diastatic fracture is when there's a separation of skull bones along suture lines, which solidify during childhood. And usually it takes a lot of intracranial pressure to fracture a skull along the suture line.
Right. And does that relate to the conclusion that this had to be an entry wound?
Yeah, well, that's a finding. That doesn't prove that this is an entrance wound, but what I do, I have a path through the left temporal lobe, and there's, you know, that, and that is the, that it was associated with the diastatic fracture because of the increased pressure.
All right, and one of the things you're telling this jury is you who actually...
Objection, leading.
Were you actually able to observe a hole associated with an injury wound when you physically performed this autopsy?
Yes, I physically performed the autopsy, and the way I determine direction is I have a hole below the left ear, which went into the brain, and so that's not going to happen in the opposite direction. And I understand that people can look at pictures. That's like a two-dimensional view, but doing the autopsy makes certain information available to the pathologist that is not available to an individual not performing the autopsy. And I had that information in my report, which was not, which was, I guess, overlooked.
Overlooked by the defense pathologist.
Yes, I'm sure.
All right. I'm gonna show you now Defense Exhibit 161. And there was some testimony from the defense pathologist about trying to determine directionality from this particular image, and can you please tell the jury why that pathologist is wrong?
All right. Well, you know, when we have tears of the skin, and this is a lot of tears of the subcutaneous tissue, especially in a very soft area of the body where there's a lot of fat, there's a lot of stretching, and it doesn't necessarily, we can move the tissue of the breast and sort of, you can even get the points to go into a different direction. This is not very impressive. It's not even really worth observing any of the skin tags. It's really very nonspecific, and I think he has a very good imagination for seeing that in this photo. And it's, you know, skin tags can be there. Sometimes they support your findings, sometimes they don't support, but they don't take the place of determining the path of the wound by actually following it through the body.
I'll show you finally what's been marked as defense 159. And is this also a representation sort of the hole that you determined and were able to physically observe as a entrance wound on the side of Maggie's head?
Yes.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Paul. And you heard the defense pathologist and their subsequent expert talk about there being a contact wound to the top of Paul's head. Is that correct?
That's what he said.
All right. And you, of course, have already testified during your direct testimony that there's no way for this to be a contact wound, but now you have specific observations about the defense conclusions.
Well, you know, I didn't think it was necessary for me to point out every feature, physical feature of the wound that demonstrates that the entrance was to the top of the left shoulder and then went into the left side of the head before exiting the top of the head. Now, before I go on, I do want to say that I agree with the book that keeps being brought up, that when there is a contact shotgun wound to the head, there's massive gas expansion within the cranial cavity, within the skull. And what that does, it doesn't just create a hole with some, you know, bones. I understand this was like the most severe thing you have ever seen. And you probably can't imagine that the damage to the head could be any worse. But a contact shotgun wound to the head with the associated gas expansion to the skull would not have, you know, his face was basically intact. We would have had tears of the skin and his eyes would have been either displaced from the orbital bones. The orbital bones were intact. Anytime there's massive gas buildup within the cranial cavity from a contact shotgun wound to the head, which the book does say is when we have the worst gas expansion, the entire face, he would have not even had a face left. I mean, I know what you saw was awful, and it was absolutely awful, but the damage would have been a lot worse. He would have had, like, the sides of his head would have gotten, he would have had, you know, his entire face would have been split open, because there's no way all of that gas expansion could occur and not cause fractures of these delicate bones in the face. His forehead was even still there. So, you know, I agree with the book that a contact shotgun wound would cause severe gas expansion and damage to the head. What we have here is not consistent with a contact shotgun wound to the head. The damage to the head would have been much worse, even though this was already horrible. Okay, that being said, there are photographs. Okay.
Yep, and I'm going to put up what's already been admitted into evidence as States 486. And if you could, Doctor, just talk a little bit about this image as it illustrates what you're talking about with the face. But also, if you could, we'll go ahead and talk about with the face. And then I want to talk about the shoulder a little bit as well.
There's no skin, like, torn apart of his face. His eyes are still in the correct locations. You know, it's hard to imagine that, you know, anything could be worse than a hole at the top right side of the back of the head. But in my 20 plus years of experience doing autopsies and seeing contact shotgun wounds to the head, which are associated with massive gas expansion in the skull, this entire face, he would have had tears, the, you know, eyes would have been either hanging down or lost, blown out. There's no way that these features are consistent with a contact shotgun wound to the head.
All right. Now, there was some discussion by the defense pathologist about shaving the top of the head for stippling or checking for stippling. And can you comment on the necessity of that in your actual autopsy that you conducted?
He also said that sometimes we actually don't see the soot, but he said, if Dr. Lima shaved the area, she would have had the opportunity to see the soot. So suppose I didn't see soot, or I did see soot, first of all, I'm confident there would not have been soot, because the features of this wound are not consistent with a shotgun wound to that location. First of all, the damage to the head and face would have been far more severe than it was. And then also the wounds to the shoulder and left side of the cheek have all the features of entrance wounds.
Right. And one of the things discussed by the defense experts was sort of the large sort of oblong shape of the shoulder. Can you explain how that does not contradict your findings of that shot coming this way, that we see this injury here? And I'm going to actually put up Defense Exhibit 162 to illustrate talking about.
All right. Well, so we've got basically an oblong wound here, and that's because the wound is entering at an angle along the top of the shoulder. It's not hitting the shoulder at a perpendicular angle. So it's kind of grazing along the top of the shoulder. Okay, now is this, okay. So, and actually, he said that the pellets are going down. Okay, well, if you look at it as an entrance wound, they're actually going up. So it depends where you're looking at it from. If he's thinking that this is an exit wound, that this is, that the end of the wound path, then it would look to him as if the pellets are going down. But we can see this is actually an entrance wound for a few reasons. First of all, if it were an exit wound, do you remember all those pellet exit wounds on Paul's left arm that came from the chest? The pellets are not just going to stop in the shoulder. There's like no resistance there. The pellets are going to continue going until they exit the left side of the arm. Okay, so they don't just stop there. The reason they're there is that's because they started there. Okay. In addition, you see all of this white material here on the edge of the entrance wound. That's styrofoam packing material that's between the pellets. So the pellets are contained within wadding, and there's styrofoam packing material between. And that would never have been deposited there. So I did not think it was net when I was telling you the direction, my determination of the direction of this wound. I did not have to necessarily, it was my expert. I'm an expert at determining forensic pathology includes establishing the direction of wounds. And because of all of these things, this was my determination. Okay, now there's another feature of this photograph. Do you see that this is coming into the left side of the, this is what I determined, left side of the cheek, and we've got all sorts of abrasions around here. Now, it doesn't have the classic, what we saw on Paul's chest had those little petals, so we knew that the wadding was starting to open up. But in this case, there was wadding that was probably open as well, so we have some pellets already starting to come out. It's not entering within the wadding, but the wadding is going along and entering them. And we have all this abrasion around the left side of the chin neck area. And that's consistent with, we're not going to have that abrasion if it's coming out. It's going to push the skin out. We're not going to have an abrasion. So, but even just common sense, we have that styrofoam packing material on the outside of the arm. My determination, this went up through the left cheek, out the right side of the top of the head. If it were a shotgun entrance wound, contact to the head. I don't care whether, there's no way his entire facial bones and skin, his ears would have been flopped down. There's so much gas expansion that the damage to his head would have been much worse. So that's based on my experience for doing this. And, I just don't know how, I didn't mention that styrofoam packing, but that's from when the pellets are coming in. And he said, oh, you can see they're going down. That's because he's looking from above. So if you look at where I believe, and I determined by doing this autopsy that the entrance wound is, it's actually going up. So it depends which side of the of the pellets you're looking at. And if just logically, if this was an exit, the pellets wouldn't have just stopped there. They've got a huge amount of energy. They're going to continue through the arm and have individual pellets. They wouldn't have all just been concentrated right there. So, you know, we can use our powers of logic, which I think, you know, we all have, to understand how this is an entrance wound that exited the right side of the top of the head.
That wraps up segment number three of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. There's much more to come. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.